So come on up. We're going to sing, "Have No Fear, Little Flock." The children learned portions of Psalm 23 this past week, and this morning we will hear the whole psalm. They'll recite the parts that they know, and I'll fill in the little gaps, and then you all will fill in the bigger gap toward the end. And your part is marked out. Everything's printed in the bulletin there. So let us hear Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
He leads me in paths of righteousness.
For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Thank you for reciting for us, children. You can sit down now, and I'd like to invite any of the other children that might like to come forward for the children's message. Okay. Anybody else want to come up? Come on up. All right. Have a seat. Go ahead and sit down, Chloe. I want to show you something. Oh, we got another one coming up. Come on up. All right. Are you coming on up? Oh, bashful. Go ahead and sit down. Okay, I want to show you something. I like to draw. And sometimes I like to draw silly faces. Let me draw a silly face here now. Let's see what you think of this. Just a minute. I'm still drawing. Still working on it. Here we go. I got a question for you. Who do you think I drew?
You.
Me? Why do you think it's me? Well, what makes you think that that's a picture of me? My glasses, and your beard. Do you know, I drew all those things on this silly picture because I was drawing a picture of myself and I wanted you to be able to recognize me. If I hadn't drawn some of those things, you wouldn't know who it was I was drawing on here, but you knew right away. Do you know, God, He wants us to know who He is and to recognize Him. And when we look in the Bible, we find word pictures there, not drawn with lines and squiggles, but drawn with words. Now, for example, you learned something very important about God when you heard that Jesus fed 5,000 families with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. What did you learn about Jesus when you heard that? He can make anything happen. And so, who's the only one that can make anything happen? Who do you think? Jesus?
God.
So we learned that Jesus is God. So you wouldn't have been able to see that otherwise, but God gave you a picture in the Bible so that you would know that Jesus is God. Another picture is that Jesus is our good shepherd and that He provides for us and cares for us and feeds us. So let's bow our heads and pray, okay? Lord, thank You for giving us all those wonderful pictures in the Bible so that we would know who You are and know that You love us and know that You sent Jesus to be our Savior. Help us think about this today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, thank you for coming up. You can go back and sit down now. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In my office back here at the church, I have a bunch of pictures. And I like to keep pictures of my grandchildren there. They're great pictures. Got them all over the place. But there's a problem with those pictures because they're a couple of years old already, and so all of them are taller and older, and their personalities have developed a bit more, and so those pictures are already out of date. One of my favorite pictures is a picture that was taken several years ago of a Christmas gathering, and I like it because we managed to get everybody into the picture, me included. It was the first time I figured out how to use that goofy timer on my camera, and it actually worked, and we got a nice picture of everybody. And but it's still one of those pictures that represents how things were. That's the problem with taking pictures. They change. 3,000 years ago, that's a long time ago, God caused David to write down the words of Psalm 23 for us. And a lot has changed since then. I think David would be amazed if he saw how we live. But in Psalm 23, God gives us a picture, not just of how He was at David's time, but a picture of how He is now. And that's because God never changes. He's not like you and me. He doesn't grow up. He doesn't change with the passing of the years. In Psalm 23, God paints a picture of Himself. And even though we change all the time, God has managed to fit us into that ancient picture. Because in Psalm 23, what we find there really is a picture of God and His family gathered together, His eternal children. And that's who we are. When God likens himself to a shepherd in Psalm 23, he's painting a picture of a person who cares for us, a person who won't leave us, a person who's not like that hired hand who cares nothing for the sheep, but like that shepherd. He'll provide for us. He'll protect us. Now, I don't think that we have too many shepherds around Lake Havasu City these days, but most of you know what shepherds are. They're people who stay with a flock of sheep and tend and protect them. They guide them to good pastures during the day so that they can feed. They guide them to good water where they can drink. They protect them at night from the wild animals like the wolves or the lions. Now, there are a number of pictures of God in the Bible that show him to be like a shepherd, and we saw a number of them during our scripture readings earlier. In the Old Testament book of the prophet Ezekiel that we read from there, it says that God is a shepherd who seeks out his flock. A little later it says, "So I will seek out my sheep. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep." In the book of Isaiah, it's written that God will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. And Jesus told his disciples in our reading from John chapter 10 today, "I am the good shepherd." And our children recited for us Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When God calls himself our shepherd, and especially when he puts in those pictures the sheep, that's us, when he brings us into the picture, excuse me, he wants us to consider how he cares for us. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Well, this is a picture of God taking care of our needs, not just with earthly food, because remember, this is a 3,000-year-old picture. None of us are going to live that long. No, he wants us to not only see in these words the earthly food that he provides for us, the water that he provides for us, but he also wants to draw our attention to the food that sustains us to eternal life. Jesus in John chapter 6 tells us that he is like bread. It's a picture. He's the bread that sustains us to eternal life, the bread of life. He talks about the living waters with the woman at the well, and he reminds her that he is the one who gives this living water that wells up in us to eternal life. Jesus provides for us not just what we need here on this earth, for that we're thankful, but we're ever so much more thankful that he provides for us what we need for our eternal life. These are pictures of the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word and through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, all things where God provides to us the forgiveness of our sins. And through the forgiveness of sins, we have life and salvation. Apart from these, apart from God's word to us, we would be like the sheep that Isaiah describes. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We would be like sheep without a shepherd. We would be lost. We would be out there in the desert, in the wilderness, trying to survive by our own means. And if you know anything about sheep, they can't do that very well. They need help. And all the while we go through our lives, isn't it true that sometimes we're like these sheep? Lost, wayward. Sometimes we stubbornly refuse to go down that righteous path of the Lord, and often we're easy pickings for the deceptions of the devil and the world around us, and even our own sinful flesh. Easy pickings for that wolf. for that lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now, it may not seem to us that really, by nature, we really have and always are stubbornly refusing God. We can't see that clearly for ourselves. And so God has to show it to us in his word. And so in the Ten Commandments, he helps us to see what we have done and how we are off the track all the time, how wayward we are, how often we've been bad. How often have we not done the things that we should have done? How often have we lied or coveted or lusted or hated someone who wronged us? How often we have thought that it's not so terribly important for us to listen to God's word with other believers as God commands us to. We've wronged God. And God is perfect, and God sees everything, and he always keeps his word, even this one from Psalm 5. As surely as I live declares, this is not Psalm 5 rather, but as surely as I live declares the sovereign Lord, the soul who sins is the one who will die. How can this possibly be consistent with God calling himself our good shepherd? How can God call us his sheep? Well, the explanation to this is in John chapter 10. Jesus explains it. He says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. To understand that statement, we need to understand who Jesus is by faith. Jesus is God. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are one God, three in one. We don't understand it, but that's how God describes himself to us. And Jesus came down to this earth where there really are no permanently green pastures, and the still waters are long gone because of sin in the world. He came to be that Lamb of God, to give his life in our place. He came to be that one obedient sheep who always walked in the paths of righteousness for our sake. He came to be that sacrificial lamb who gave up his life to pay for our sins. He became the soul that sins, not because he ever sinned, but because he took upon himself all our sins and because he died in our place to pay for them fully. This week we learned that in our studies. On Tuesday we heard that Jesus is the good shepherd, and we began to think about this. On Wednesday we heard that Jesus does what only God can do, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. On Thursday we heard that Jesus plants his word in our hearts when we hear him. And on Friday we heard that he does all this because the Father wishes, desires to forgive us all our sins and to welcome us into our heavenly home. And yesterday, we heard about the resurrection, when Jesus cast aside death on the third day and proved that he had done everything right, that he had accomplished what he set out to do, that is, the salvation of our souls. Listen to the Good Shepherd. He never changes. This has always been his desire. He will lead you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When you are with him, you will say, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You will sing with those children, have no fear, little flock. And you'll have an understanding in your heart about why you can sing that. This psalm that the children learned, you probably, as I said before, heard it mostly at funerals, but think about why you should hear it there. Jesus himself is telling you that he will never leave you, never forsake you, even in death. He will guide you through that. Jesus himself is telling us that he has called us by name and that he will save his flock, and he is none other than the true God who can never fail at what he sets his mind to. Now, there are many things that we would like to have in this life, but when that coffin or the tomb or the urn comes our way, none of that stuff is going to matter. Only this will matter to you and to me, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And even now, when we live knowing that death is coming for us one day, we can say with David and with Christians who have sung these words throughout time and even in eternity, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of what our good shepherd did for us on the cross. Treasure up all those pictures in your hearts, dear fellow redeemed, for they will never change. They are God's unchanging love for you, expressed in words, expressed by the Spirit in the Scriptures. And they reveal to us His gracious heart, the heart of our loving God. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to everlasting life. Amen.